pursuit of happiness. This is like a guarantee of happiness. That is the goal of the Great Society. Is that an appropriate or even a possible goal for a government to make when they talk about setting policies?
I think it's really useful that you bring up the idea of happiness versus the pursuit of happiness. That's incredibly useful to understand. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, happiness is the one right in the list that the founders don't guarantee that government can provide. The government can secure your life reasonably well, they can secure your liberty, but they can only secure to you the ability to pursue happiness. And I think that was because of the perception that was widely held that ultimate happiness, your permanent long-term good, is something that cannot be secured in this life, on this plane of existence. And they had learned, particularly looking at the course of European history, that the attempt to guarantee happiness on the part of government was both an elusive goal and a tyrannical one, because you can't guarantee happiness without smashing everybody into that exact mold. In other words, it would require tyrannical power on the part of the government in order to achieve that. And so it's no coincidence that it's with the Great Society in the 1960s that you see the real intrusion, way beyond anything that you see in the New Deal, of the administrative state into the individual person's life. And I think it's also not a surprise that it's in the 1960s that you start to get intense, growing, popular cynicism about government. And I think the reason for that is fairly simple. Look at what Johnson is promising. He's promising people things that bureaucracy, centralized government, cannot possibly deliver. And so it's inevitably going to fail. Not only is it going to be tyrannical, it's going to be unsuccessful. And so as government continues to make ever more grandiose promises about what it can do for us, people start to notice the disconnect between promise and reality, and I think that breeds cynicism about government.
Dr. Kevin Porteous with us, professor of politics, director of American Studies here at Hillsdale College on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. You mentioned a little earlier this phrase, the war on poverty, which comes from LBJ's Great Society. Was the war on poverty, which I guess in essence really continues today, a success in any real meaningful way? And what is its legacy today?
Well, the war on poverty is a great example of the expansiveness of Lyndon Johnson's program. That is to say, previous anti-poverty programs, whether they were of the localized variety that some founding fathers proposed, like Thomas Jefferson, whether they were of the private charity variety, or even what you find in the Progressive Era and the New Deal. Whatever Franklin Roosevelt's larger vision, the actual programs he put forward were geared towards the amelioration or the mitigation of poverty. There's a recognition that you're going to have poor people, but we want to install a kind of baseline of economic security that we're not going to let people fall below. I think that the Great Society is different. The war on poverty is different because Johnson says explicitly in announcing the war on poverty, he says, our objective is total victory. And I think what he means by that is we are now at the point, and he says this, we are now at the point in our wealth, in our prosperity, in our progress in civilization, where we can not just ameliorate poverty, we can eliminate it. We can change the way human beings have lived since human beings have lived. In other words, poverty has always been with us, but Johnson says it doesn't have to be with us anymore. And if you think about that, that's incredibly radical because it means transforming the human condition. It means changing the way that human beings interact with reality, undoing thousands of years of human experience through centralized government programs. And I think that this manifests itself in the programs that he creates. So it's job training programs, it's urban renewal programs, it's economic opportunity and community action programs. Johnson is not trying to mitigate the effects of poverty. His programs strike at the causes of poverty. And I think that if you want to judge whether or not Johnson's programs have succeeded, just look at the welfare rolls, look at the attitude of people who are, in many cases, not every case, but of people who are receiving these benefits and what it does to their character to be on welfare and living at the expense of others for years, decades, generationally. I mean, that's a huge transformation, and it's incredibly problematic in terms of preserving the virtues necessary for self-government.
If you want to learn more, the Constitution 201 class has a specific course taught by Dr. Kevin Porteous on LBJ's Great Society, online.hillsdale.edu. Dr. Kevin Porteous, Professor of Politics, Director of American Studies here at Hillsdale College, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Up next, Jeff Shepard. His new book is The Nixon Conspiracy. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
All of us at Crown Motors want to take this opportunity to thank our veterans, active duty, and first responders for their service to our country and community. We also wish to express our appreciation to the families of these heroes who also have sacrificed to keep our nation and our community safe. Have a wonderful holiday season, and remember that everything you do is so appreciated by your neighbors, community, and the people at Crown Motors of Reading.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
We're here with Mortgage Matt from Megastar Financial here in Reading. Matt, what if someone has just recently purchased a home or recently financed, like a year ago?
You know, this last year has been insane. A lot of people with the work from home phenomena, there's a lot of people moving here from metropolitan areas, which has, you know, affected the supply and demand of this market. That has really boosted the value of houses. So right now, people are looking to remodel their home or consolidate debt. They're able to do that at a lower cost with a cash out refinance than they ever have in history.
Talk about the value of using a local mortgage company and why Megastar Financial.
The nice thing about us being local is our accessibility. You mean people can meet with us in a safe way, but whatever people are comfortable with. We can do an application process online on our website, or we can do an application together over the phone.
Megastar Financial, America's most trusted mortgage company, located at 920 Hilltop Drive next door to Chuck E. Cheese. Call 999-9000 or get started online at megastarreading.com. NMLS 1162668.
Have you been putting off getting your colonoscopy due to COVID restrictions? Well, there's no better time than now. Due to the COVID-19 pandemic, colorectal cancer screenings have declined by 86%, and as a result, up to 10,000 more deaths are projected over the next decade. With early detection, colon cancer has a 90% survival rate, and it may even be preventable with a colonoscopy. At Reading Endoscopy Center, our number one priority is the health and safety of our patients, and our center has always been committed to maintaining strict infection control and prevention protocols. Schedule your colonoscopy today by calling us at 530-246-7000 or visiting readingendoscopy.com. Visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Patricia Bay, and my radio show, Therapy in a Nutshell, which airs on Saturdays at 11 a.m. on KCNR, 1460 a.m., or 96.5 FM, is a great show for you to listen to and learn how to effectively change your life. We talk about issues such as communication and trust, couples issues, and many more. Also, you can listen to the radio show on my podcast through the Anchor app, which is free and safe, or you can tune into the iTunes or Spotify podcast and listen to it there. It's a nice show that'll help you throughout the day and throughout your life. So join me for Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, 11 a.m. at KCNR Radio. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, trying to heal the world 1 hour at a time.
You get me every time.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertrand. From all of us here on the program and from Hillsdale College, we wish you and your family a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. We're joined now by Jeff Shepard. He's the author of the new book, The Nixon Conspiracy, Watergate and the Plot to Remove the President. He also served 5 years on the Nixon White House staff, including as Associate Director of Domestic Counsel. He was Deputy Counsel of Nixon's Watergate Defense Team. You can find out more at the website, shepherdonwatergate.com. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on, Scott.
You've written a few books previously on similar subjects. And Jeff, of most importance for the new book, The Nixon Conspiracy, is you have found some new information. You have found some new documents, in fact.
What's so appalling, Scott, is the top four prosecutors took their secret documents with them when they left office. Now, they shouldn't have done it. These are government documents. And they've slowly surfaced just in the past few years. So my first book was really the Archie Cox and the original prosecutors. The second, that surfaced in 2008, but Leon Jaworski took his, he was the second special prosecutor, he took his stuff with him when he left in 1974, and the materials didn't surface till 2013. And since then, I've uncovered three more caches of documents. So this book, the Nixon Conspiracy, really focuses on what they did to President Nixon and how they misrepresented, both to the grand jury and to the Hill, facts that they said would cause the Judiciary Committee to impeach Nixon and the Senate to convict him. But their facts were wrong. They did this in secret. There's this very famous report. It was a secret grand jury report, and it became nicknamed the Roadmap. And what the prosecutors said was, we've gathered all this evidence against Nixon, but we've decided it's not appropriate to indict a sitting president. The law is too unclear, so we're going to give it to the Hill, and they can impeach him. This will lead to Nixon's impeachment. But since it's grand jury evidence, we can't make it public. So they sent this secret report. It was public that they sent it, but the report was secret. So those of us on Nixon's defense team had no idea what he was accused of.
Jeff Shepard is with us. The Nixon Conspiracy is the new book, Watergate and the Plot to Remove the President. I've seen you speak, Jeff, and you say that there are three definite truths here, that there was a break-in, there was a cover-up, and the president did resign. And everything in between is hazy.
It's amazing, Scott. Everything in between, you can't believe what you've been told. We know there was a break-in. They were caught red-handed. And we know there was a cover-up because people were trying to deny they knew about the break-in in advance. And some pretty senior people were at risk. So they ran the cover-up. There's no question about that. The question is, who knew? Who was involved? And that's where specially recruited prosecutors overreached. And they decided who they wanted to bag, who they wanted to accuse, and they indicted them on the flimsiest of evidence. And those folks didn't get fair trials. Nixon not only resigned in disgrace, but two dozen members of his administration were convicted and imprisoned.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't get the benefit of fair trials. And that's what my book does. And the Nixon conspiracy, of course, was going after his top lieutenants, too. But what distinguishes my work, and this is something your listeners need to be aware of, mine is all document-based. I have uncovered dozens and dozens of documents from within the special prosecutor's own files that detail their wrongdoing.
Jeff, if there were a plot, and you now have these documents, people can find them too. ShepherdOnWatergate.com is a place to find the links. In your research, can you begin to point fingers here? Meaning, is there someone or some agency in particular you can say that this is where it began, this is where it came from, this is the person spearheading, organizing this plot? Can you do that?
Yes. Yes, I can. The person who is primarily responsible for the Watergate problem is, of course, John Dean. He's the president's lawyer. He recruited and hired Gordon Liddy. Gordon Liddy conducted the break-in, and he's just an out-and-out crook. But Dean hired him, worked with him in developing the plan, and was at meetings where that plan was discussed with very senior people. So Dean ran the cover-up to protect himself. And then when it failed, and it should have failed, Scott, when the cover-up failed, Dean said, oh, all these other people on Nixon's staff, they were with me on this. There was a conspiracy, and I'm the only one that can show you. And then he teamed up with these specially recruited prosecutors who were all ardent Nixon haters, and they made him into a hero, and they went and targeted prosecutions of Nixon's senior people, and the press played its role. You know, in that era, there was only one point of view. There was a uniform press, three networks, ABC, NBC, and CBS, two national newspapers, the New York Times and the Washington Post, and two weekly news magazines, Time and Newsweek. And it was one point of view. And what they did was just this drumbeat of driving Nixon down and printing rumor and innuendo and not following up on any lead that would contradict their narrative.
Final question for Jeff Shepherd. His new book is The Nixon Conspiracy, Watergate, and the Plot to Remove the President. Jeff, you've recently filed an official complaint of attorney misconduct with the Department of Justice, again, almost 50 years after Watergate. Why is that important? Why is what you've uncovered still important now, so far after the fact?
Well, one, because if you don't learn from the past, you'll repeat it in the present. And what this stuff shows is the criminalization of politics didn't start recently. It actually was going on 50 years ago, and we can prove it. Those documents have come to light recently. But what's delicious is that complaint of attorney misconduct. Turns out the Department of Justice, because federal prosecutors have such incredible power and the wide discretion they're given of who to charge and what to charge them with, the Department of Justice has its own internal affairs unit. It was established right after Watergate, but its role is to investigate allegations of misconduct by Department of Justice attorneys. That's its only responsibility, and it's called the Office of Professional Responsibility. Well, I learned about it about 3 weeks ago, right about the time the book was coming out. And, of course, I just documented all this wrongdoing in the book, and here comes this opportunity, which I took immediately, to file a formal complaint with the Department of Justice about the conduct of the specially recruited prosecutors.
Jeff Shepherd, The Nixon Conspiracy, Watergate, and the Plot to Remove the President. You can find that book all over the place and the website ShepherdOnWatergate.com. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Scott, it's a pleasure for you to have me on. Thank you so much.
Up next, Dr. Paul Ray from Hillsdale's History Department will take us through the life and thinking of Machiavelli. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Your friendly old change.
Many accidents are caused by worn wiper blades. Let's face it, it's just uncomfortable when you're driving in the rain, snow, fog, and everything else in between with worn blades. At Premier Oil Change, when you buy one wiper blade, you get the second blade free. Yes, now through January 15th, you buy one wiper blade and get the second one free for as little as $15.99. At Premier Oil Change, we make maintaining your car easy. There's no need for an appointment. You don't drop your car off or wait. Just pull in, enjoy a free beverage and free Wi-Fi while our trained technicians perform our comprehensive 30-point certified service. Earn free oil changes with Premier Rewards. Learn more at PremierOilChange.com or visit us in Palo Cedro. Premier is in the Holiday Market Shopping Center or in Redding on Lake Boulevard next to Waterworks Park and our newest location in Anderson across from Round Table Pizza. All locations, you get a free car wash with every oil change. Home of the friendly oil change.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
I expect it to be a lot easier.
I didn't know what step to take next.
I was transitioning from the military. I was a vehicle gunner.
An avionics specialist.
I missed my unit, my family.
Playing with my daughter, I'd felt like a stranger.
I didn't have a clear sense of what to do next.
And then I thought, if I'm going through this, other veterans have gone through it too, right? So I reached out, and I saw that I wasn't alone.
Go to MakeTheConnection.net to learn how other veterans have overcome the challenges of transitioning out of the military.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. For more information about Hillsdale College for prospective students, for friends of Hillsdale, or alumni, head to hillsdale.edu. We're joined by Dr. Paul Ray, Professor of History, and Charles O. Lee and Louise K. Lee, Chair in the Western Heritage at Hillsdale College. Dr. Ray, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be with you again.
We perhaps introduce people, or at least give them more information on a great figure, Machiavelli, in today's conversation. Who was Machiavelli? When was he alive? What did he do?
Well, he was a Florentine. He came from a leading family, not top tier, but say second tier. It was a family with some money. He's always complaining about poverty, but it's not what you would call poverty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he never has to work with his hands. He has a modest income, and it's a competence. It's sufficient. He's born in 1469. He dies, I believe, in 1527. He is born in Florence at a time when it's close to its high point. This is a commercial city, a mercantile city in Italy. So you've got artisans, you have bankers, there are many bankers, the Medici being the most famous. It's a period of Medici domination. There is one very successful banking family that has managed to, it's kind of like Chicago, put the fix into the political system.
Yeah.
And from behind the scenes, they run just about everything. And then a calamity takes place when he is 23. There is a French invasion of Italy, and there's nothing to stop the French. The Italian cities are mostly commercial in character. They're not especially martial. There are lots of soldiers in Italy, but they're mercenaries.
Mm.
Mercenaries aren't going to stand up to the French army. And, one wag said that the French conquered Italy with chalk.
Hmm.
And they used the chalk to mark the houses where their officers would stay. And Florence succumbs. And the Medici are tossed out. And you have a period in which, from behind the scenes, a Dominican monk named Savonarola runs the city. For about 4 years. Machiavelli is witness to this and fascinated. And at one level, Savonarola is a rebel, a forerunner of Martin Luther, you know, who comes along not so very many of 20, 25 years later. And Savonarola will give a sermon in the morning, and it'll be sold on the streets in the afternoon, and it'll be reprinted in Lyon in France within a week. And then it will circulate throughout Europe.
Dr. Ray, what do we know about Machiavelli's upbringing? What do we know about his schooling?
As I said, we don't know much. We know a little bit about his upbringing. His father was a humanist and trained as a lawyer. And his father's best friend was the chancellor of the Florentine Republic under the Medici, a bit longer, even under Savonarola. Though the family, he's not filthy rich the way he'd like to be. They're well off enough that they don't really have to work. On the other hand, they can't live at a very high level. And we know that he learned Latin at an early age, and we know that he learned it exceedingly well. We have reason to think he studied at the Florentine studio. This was what they had rather than a university. And we have his masterpiece, you know, that is to say, the sort of graduate thesis he did, which was a critical edition of the Lucretius's poem De Rerum Natura, in which he is correcting the Latin of the manuscripts. He then spends this period in which he is at the Second Chancery, and in theory he's responsible for the Florentine territorial state. In Tuscany, they have conquered and absorbed a number of smaller communities, and they have to manage it. And he's the sort of civil servant in charge of that. He's also very interested in creating a militia, because one of the things learned in 1492 is Florence doesn't have its own army. And so he pushes that and pushes that and pushes that from his post and finally persuades people, and he's put in charge of it. And it's actually a considerable success. Florence lost Pisa in 1492. It is Machiavelli's militia that brings Pisa back under Florence. But the other thing is, it turns out that he's clever, and so they use him on embassies, and he goes everywhere. And he writes reports back to the priors of the Florentine state. So you see his mind working in this, and you see why they are delighted to get reports from him, because he's always speculating, what does this mean? What's the larger meaning of this? And the people at the time were especially delighted with him. But there was unhappiness with him, too, because he was too big for his britches. The Medici come back in, and they fire him because he's been too political.
Dr. Paul Ray talking with us about Machiavelli. The Prince, this great work by Machiavelli. Give us a bit of the background behind it. Why does he decide to write The Prince?
He writes The Prince as a job application. It's the most famous job application ever written. And there's a wonderful letter that he writes in December 1512 about working on The Prince. He has a good friend. So he writes Machiavelli a letter about a day in his life. And it's about the food he eats and going to mass. And Machiavelli writes a letter back, a day in the life of me. And he is barred from the building of the Florentine chancery, except when they can't figure something out. They call him in. So he's outside Florence in a farm, which still exists, and the house where he's writing this letter is still there, and the desk and the chair are still there. To describe a kind of simpler life than the gentleman in Rome is leading. And it ends with a description that, you know, at the end of his day, he changes his clothes and cleans himself up from the mud and mire of the day, and he puts on courtly robes. Now, this may be literal because, of course, he had to go to court many times, so he has that kind of clothing. And he sits down and he reads the books of the ancients. In order to sort of preserve what he has learned, he's writing a little thing called The Prince. And he wants to make a gift of it to one of the Medici, whom he had grown up with. They're the same age, roughly, and they've known each other since childhood. And they're all trained as humanists, these people at the top or at the second tier. It's the prince. And what he wants is a job as advisor to whoever's going to run Rome on behalf, run Florence on behalf of the Medici. It turns out not to be the person originally imagined, who had been close to Machiavelli, but the nephew of that person, the younger Lorenzo de' Medici. And so the dedication is changed. And it is given to him, and there is a story, makes perfect sense. Guy receives it, throws it on a pile. Someone else brings him a brace of hunting dogs. He's much more interested in hunting dogs. Machiavelli does not get the job. The book begins to circulate in manuscript. It's not published in print until the 1530s, and it's published in Rome with papal imprimatur. But it circulates all through Europe in manuscript.
Dr. Ray will pause right there. We'll come back after the break and talk a bit more about the life and times of Machiavelli. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining. The birds are singing. And there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that. And it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple. Naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet. Mount Shasta spring water.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Hi, this is Whitney from Timberline Heating and Air Conditioning. On behalf of the whole Timberline team, we wanted to take this opportunity during this special time of year as we gather to spend time with our family and friends. It is also a time to remember all of our veterans and those currently serving our country. So we join with KCNR for Operation Holiday Salute, sending peace, hope, and happiness this holiday season to all our veterans and service members from the Timberline Heating and Air family. Happy Holidays.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Happy holidays from our Home Helpers family to yours. At Home Helpers, we are proud to help your loved ones celebrate this holiday season from the safety and comfort of their own homes. We are equally proud of the men and women who can't be with us. To the bravest among us, far from home serving our country this holiday season, to all members of the military in all branches, past and present, and those who made the ultimate sacrifice. With respect, gratitude, and love, we thank you. Happy holidays from all of us at Home Helpers. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love brings you home.
Hi, I'm Janet McCarn, one of the owners of Orchard Nutrition Center. We are proud to be joining KCNR in sending holiday greetings and wishes to all our veterans and those currently serving our country, and to their families waiting at home. It is a huge sacrifice they make for our country, and Orchard Nutrition Center is proud to honor our veterans every day with a 10% in-store discount. Sending warm wishes from the Orchard Nutrition Center family to all our veterans today and all year long. Thank you for your service.
As part of Operation Holiday Salute, Reading Kia would like to take this moment to thank our veterans and those currently enlisted in the military for their service. Since 2006, Reading Kia has set out to be the premier automobile dealership in the North State. There's always a military incentive rebate on all new 2022 Kias at Reading Kia. Test drive the 2022 Kia Sorento today. Reading Kia, home of the 20-year, 200,000 limited-mile powertrain warranty. 418 East Cypress Avenue, ReadingKia.com.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them?
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA or go online to sfymca.org.
Hi, I'm Rob Burrows from the Homeward Bound Military Family Support Services. Your donations helped us deliver 125 Thanksgiving dinners to military families in need. We're taking donations for Christmas meals December 18th and 19th, again at Save Mart on Turn Creek Road in Reading. Donate hams, turkeys, and non-perishable dry goods and canned goods that would make a wonderful Christmas dinner. Cash accepted also. Keep the dates December 18th and 19th at Save Mart from 8 to 8 both days. And thanks for your support.
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. To get an email every time there's a new episode of the program, head to radiohour.hillsdale.edu and enter your email address. That's radiohour.hillsdale.edu. You can also find old episodes of the program there. We've been talking with Dr. Paul Ray, Professor of History, Charles O. Lee, and Louise K. Lee Chair in Western Heritage here at Hillsdale College, about Machiavelli. We had just talked about the writing of his book, The Prince. Dr. Ray, how does The Prince change politics?
Look, Machiavelli's little book marks a revolution in the way people think about politics. It's a direct assault on the notion that politics has to have a moral underpinning. It's written in a Christian context, so it's really an attack on Christianity in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
But it takes the form of a direct attack on Aristotle, not mentioned by name, but it's very clear. That the most famous chapter is chapter 15, and the title is lifted from Aristotle's Nicomachean Ethics. Aristotle describes 11 virtues. Thomas Aquinas, following Aristotle, gives a list of 11 virtues, slightly modified in light of Christianity. Machiavelli gives a list of 11 virtues and vices, but he mixes them up in such a way that it's not clear what's a virtue and what's a vice. Is cruelty a virtue? Could be. And then he tells you, finally, that what seems to be virtue and what seems to be vice, with an emphasis on seems, must ultimately be decided in light of your own security and well-being. So, morality, what's moral is to get yours. So it's a new morality. So at the heart of the thing is a kind of fascination with tyranny. And tyranny in ancient Greece is a word for usurper. Tyrant's not a king. And so the new prince is his subject. But he has a rather grand view of the new princes. You know, who are the great ones? Through a book. So this, you know, civil servant, this bureaucrat, failed, fired bureaucrat, has this grand ambition. And he'd have never had time to do this had he not failed as a bureaucrat, sure. Had he not been fired. And then Machiavelli goes on, because he never gets a job, really, with the Medici. They eventually hire him, give him a stipend to be the Florentine state historian, and he produces a book called Florentine Histories. But that's not until considerably later.
Dr. Ray, we know about The Prince. We've talked about The Prince. What else does Machiavelli write in his lifetime?
In the interim, he writes a book called The Art of War, in which he is interested in the return of infantry as the dominant arm. Throughout the Middle Ages, cavalry's been the dominant arm. And he's interested in this for political reasons. The cavalry is an aristocratic arm because horses are very expensive,
mm-hmm.
and they don't give you much of anything back. You can use a horse to pull a plow, but that's not the kind of horse that cavalrymen need.
Right.
So when cavalry is predominant, the dominant force politically is going to be the aristocracy. Okay, just about the time that Machiavelli is born, the pikemen of Switzerland, where there is no aristocracy because it's too poor for any self-respecting aristocrat to be interested in, defeat the largest and finest army of knights ever assembled. And they defeat them maybe three times, It's assembled by Charles the Bold of Burgundy, who's more powerful than the King of France at that time. And they massacre these knights. And everybody in Europe takes notice and realizes infantry can defeat cavalry.
Hmm.
And so they pull together infantries. And Machiavelli writes a book about the military revolution that is taking place in his own time. And he's interested in it in part because it means the return of populist politics. Because infantry is going to be based upon the peasantry and large numbers of people and not rich people. So he's sort of looking back to Greece and Rome, which were based on the same kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
thinking perhaps we can have a restoration of their politics. But a restoration of their politics without the kind of morality that comes out of Plato and Aristotle. He's thinking of something much, much, much harsher. And he writes another book called The Discourses on Livy. It purports to be a commentary on the first 10 books of Livy, so on very early Roman history. But it's quasi-independent work, kind of takes off from there. And it envisages a new kind of republicanism. And it's a republicanism without morality. And one of the words that does not figure in Machiavelli's language in The Prince or in the Discourses on Livy is justice.
Hmm.
And it's not 100% absent, but it's basically absent. And another word that he never uses is the word soul. He uses the word spirit, but what he means is spirit all the time. And so he develops a new understanding of republicanism. Ancient Greek and ancient Roman republicanism was based upon the notion of civic morality and solidarity, harmony. Homonoia is the Greek word, concordia is the Latin word. And Machiavelli says, no, good politics comes from domestic conflict, which you have to channel. And if you channel that thing properly, you will get good results.
Hmm.
He's really not concerned with deliberation. He's concerned with process. And to some degree, he's the ancestor to the argument you find James Madison making in Federalist Number 10 about the advantage accrued from the multiplication of factions. Good results can be achieved without anyone intending them.
Hmm.
Any agent intending them. The designer of the system has to intend the good results. And so Machiavelli is looking at the struggle of the orders between the patricians and the plebeians and the subsequent class struggle at Rome. And he's arguing everything good at Rome came out of this. That's a new way of thinking about republicanism.
Dr. Paul Ray, Professor of History, Charles O. Lee, and Louise K. Lee Chair in Western Heritage at Hillsdale College. Dr. Ray, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure.
That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Kevin Porteous from Hillsdale's Politics Department as we talked about LBJ's Great Society programs. Jeff Shepard discussed his brand new book with us, The Nixon Conspiracy, and we talked with Dr. Paul Ray from Hillsdale's History Department about Machiavelli. You can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour podcast. Find it at SoundCloud, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spotify, or Amazon Podcasts. Email us at radiohour@hillsdale.edu. The assistant producer of the show is Nate Esbenshade. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice.
Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
Very often we write down a sentence too early, then another too late. What we have to do is to write it down at the proper time. Otherwise, it's lost. Thomas Bernard.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hole.
And I'm Lee Esses.
Happy NaNoWriMo!
Woo-woo!
We are the second day into November. I hope you've started your process to achieving your NaNoWriMo goals. To give you a little bit of motivation, we are doing a month-long giveaway.
You've heard us talk about the merchandise of Write Selfishly on a t-shirt and on mugs and that kind of thing.
Now on masks.
These will be what we're giving away at the end. We will do a drawing on our Facebook page.
So what you need to do to be entered into the giveaway is to like our Facebook page and then find one of us on NaNoWriMo website. We will include links to this on Facebook, on the landing page of this episode, and in the About Me section on our website.
And then every day that you hit your word goal, you'll be entered into this drawing for the end of the month.
Just send us a message on NaNo saying, hey, I'm entering your giveaway, and we will keep an eye on the goals that you enter into the NaNo website.
This is simply meant to be motivation to get you to be writing your book.
For me personally, NaNo means a lot. I did the Camp July NaNo, and that's what ended with me having a finished book. That's what ended with me having Toxic be able to release and publish. To help celebrate that, we are going to include copies of our books in this giveaway.
Our goal for this month is to give you kind of tricks of the trade, little things to keep in your arsenal when you're stuck. These little tricks will help you move your story forward. That is the purpose of this month. So the first thing we're talking about is writing right now. So Lee, what is the biggest thing that holds you back from writing?
Perfectionism. When I hear the phrase writing right now, all I hear is writing right. I say I want it to be right the first time. I have to write it right the first time. And I don't track the right now part of it. Because when we say write it right now, we don't mean it has to be perfect right now. We mean just get it written right now.
When we are talking about your NaNoWriMo word count goals, we don't mean 1,667 perfect words. We mean 1,667 words that have been written. It's far more important to write it right now than to write it right.
Because there is no right way to write, especially on a first draft. Word vomit if you have to, just get it on.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.